Welcome to the Speak and Get What You Want podcast, where you learn to communicate like the world's most successful leaders. Now, here are your hosts, TK Stratton and Chad Kirby. How do you make sure you always stay innovative? How do you make sure that in an ever-changing business world and ever-changing life, that you're always at the top of your game? It's having that ability to pivot. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today with the great Kirk Kaplan in the Speak and Get What You Want podcast. Kirk, great to be with you.
Good to see you, Chad.
Oh, you know, Kirk, I love taking on this specific subject with you because you are in one of those fields, the legal space, where people are hesitant to pivot or make change. So let me start by asking you, Kirk, what is it about you that has given you the confidence to be willing to pivot, especially in a space that doesn't really welcome it?
Are you talking about pivot because of most recent change in technology?
Yes, absolutely.
About the use of AI and all of that?
Mm-hmm.
I've just always been somebody that has wanted to stay on the edge of technology. And I've tried to use the technology that I know exists that within my ability to do it. So, you know, I use Excel and Word as much as possibly to do merge information. And it just kind of grew from there. And that's why, you know, with AI coming on board, I started looking into AI and started asking questions and having conversations with it. And it really intrigued me. And now I'm starting to adapt it more and more into my practice.
Okay, so Kirk, AI. So a lot of people are scared of AI. A lot of people are saying, oh no, AI is going to take over the world. What? But you're excited about AI. What? Why?
Well, what I like about it is I really want to turn my practice into being a practice where we actually talk to people and are human and being authentic with the people. And with the automations that we can put in under our belts and to help us out, my staff will no longer just be worried about production of documents. And I won't have to review as much because I know the information will be consistent through the document production. And we can be more realistic and be with the clients more often.
Okay, so you're saying, that's interesting, Kirk, because you're saying that human-to-human interaction is never going away.
It is not. Authenticity is going to be the currency coming up.
Okay, so people are always going to want to interact with humans.
Yes.
But what you're saying is you use AI, you use technology to actually give you more human-to-human interaction?
Yes, by reducing our production.
Isn't that interesting that so many people are thinking, wait a second, AI and all of these different tools are going to replace me, but you're saying that it's just going to make you better?
Yes, it's going to make everyone better.
Okay.
In the office.
But that goes back to your mindset, Kirk. Well, let me ask you that real quick. What do you mean it's going to make everybody better?
Well, we're going to, you know, the receptionist is going to be able to become somebody that's going to be a client satisfaction person that can take phone calls and to give status of things and can, and we'll learn how pleadings work and estate planning documents work.
Okay, so everyone's going to be empowered.
Yeah, the secretary will then become talking also to people more, and the reception will, and their jobs are, I want them to merge those two jobs.
Wow, okay, so think about this for a moment. So people listening right now, and I love, Kirk, your mindset here, and I'm gonna break down your mindset here in just a moment.
Okay.
But so many people are fearful of the ever-changing landscape in the business world, and you are approaching it saying, no way, I'm not fearful. I'm excited because this is going to actually empower me and make me more successful.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, where does that mindset come from?
I've just always been somebody, I don't know. I've just always been relying upon myself to think of ways through. And I always sit back and just watch people on what they're doing and trying to learn what they're doing. And sometimes people's fears actually give me a clue on what I need to actually run at.
Whoa. Okay. Let's back up here for a moment because you said a lot there that I want to unpack. The first thing you said is you've always relied upon yourself.
Yes.
Meaning I'm going to be able to figure this out. I have the confidence, which has given you the approach of being proactive instead of reactive.
Yes.
because
that doesn't mean there's times I haven't been reactive, but I try to be more proactive, because the more proactive I am, the less reactive I have to be.
Oh, that is so powerful, because I get frustrated, because I often meet people and talk to people that have that victim mentality, that are letting the world happen to them rather than them going and changing the world.
The world happens for you. The world happens for you.
You know, and I'm excited to see, and everyone should watch Kresge, and what you're doing down the future. This is going to be really, really exciting in the legal space, Kirk. But you have that confidence in yourself. And then you said you try and learn from other people. What do you mean by that?
Well, I can't say that every time somebody's scared of something that I'm going to figure out something to the resolve of that. But what's going on, they're scared, you know, from what I'm seeing in the legal community and the people I talk to and the attorneys I talk to, they're getting concerned because, you know, it's speeding up things that they're going to have to worry about, and they can't hire enough people to keep up with the speed that this law practice is going to go through. Estate planning, for sure. Okay. And so I'm going like, how am I going to be able to address this issue that people are scared of, the speed that everything's going to start happening at? And that was, again, like I was just taking, for example, I have about a 20-minute trip between my house and my office, and I'll just turn on 360 Copilot, and I'll just have a conversation with it, and I'll just start talking to it and having questions about it. And I'll have a 20-minute conversation there and a 20-minute conversation on the way home about how to solve something.
That,
and it just kind of evolves from that.
That's fantastic, Kirk. And so you said, and it's along the lines of what you broke down there, but you said that when there is a fear, when someone is worried about something, when someone might be perhaps scared, you run to fix the problem because you know there's an opportunity there.
There's an opportunity there.
So you say the legal landscape is shifting. The way we're doing practicing law today is not the way we're going to be practicing it
in
the future, right?
Yeah, and even probably in the next 2 years, I think.
And you're saying, Kirk, I'm going to be a part of that change. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be at the forefront of that change. You know, sure. if you're, you know, and you're an extremely bright individual, Kirk, and I'm sure you've studied plenty of history, but the reality is during the Great Depression, there were people that were making tremendous amounts of money.
Yeah.
It was the people that were willing to shift. It was the people that were willing to pivot.
Yes. And AI is going to, from my perspective, I think AI is going to, it's going to affect us. AI is already in our mobile devices. All right. We're carrying them around right now. And I'm thinking about back when there was a picture of like a main street in New York where there were horses on it in 1900. And then in 1913, no horses, all cars. All automobiles were on that street 13 years later. And that was a major shift in our production and our economy, was going from horse to motor vehicle. And that's what's gonna happen now. But with AI and computers, that's gonna be a compressed time frame. 2 years at the minimum, probably, you know, 5 years, you know, 5 years at the most, I think. If you're not on it and trying to stay aboard, your law firm is toast.
Well, and I wouldn't just limit this to your law firm, Kirk. I'd limit it to any business at all. How are you? You know, I'm here in Idaho, Kirk, and I was talking to the CEO of a very large potato company. They sell all the potatoes all across the world. They're just a massive company. And he told me, he said, Chad, there's the technology now to have a people-less farm. The technology is there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's even telling me about tractors that can go through a wheat field and zap the weeds and harvest the wheat. You know, it's crazy how. And so I said, well, why isn't that happening? He's like, well, it's cost prohibitive right now, but it's coming. And so I'm thinking to myself, okay, so what is it that I need to do, Kirk? What is it that you're doing so that you make sure you aren't lost and you're not the person selling horse whips in 1913 in New York City?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you doing with maybe not specifically what you're doing, but in general, what are you doing to try and stay ahead of the curve so that you can thrive in the economy rather than, you know, you struggle?
Well, you know, I've set up my first AI agent that's going out and just is searching the web and gives me a report once a week. And a Friday evening when I'm, after all said and done, I'll sit and read this report this AI agent produced for me on what's changed in AI
Wow.
over the past week. And I don't want to overload myself, so I try to read just like the top five things of what they're doing, okay?
Okay.
Because it's providing me a list that's just insane. But I'll read the top five that it produces for me. I say, hey, give me the top five what you think as it is. ChatGPT 5 is just recently out, and everybody's going back and forth. Are you a failure? Is it a good thing? Whatever. Are they trying to slow you down? All this stuff. And I just got another notice right now from Microsoft that they're integrating, from what I'm seeing, ChatGPT 5 into Copilot.
Interesting.
Yeah,
Wow.
so I try to keep up with that. And at the same time, I have to unhook, unhook from technology also. Spend
Right.
time with my family, spend time with my hobby and things like that. And that's another thing, is you gotta have downtime just to let your brain release. At
That
least I do.
that's huge. So someone who's saying that, okay, Kirk, the landscape is shifting. I want to be able to pivot to make sure I'm running in the right direction. You're saying gather as much information as you can,
Synthesize it.
absorb as much information you can, and then make sure you have some downtime
Sure.
to really have a release from all the technology that the world's sending our way.
Some of my, I can't really remember off the top, but I know some of my, what I think are some of my innovations have come about when I'm just walking with my wife. We're up in Red Rock up here because I'm in Las Vegas, and we're up in Red Rock, and something will come to me about that I've been thinking about for, a year, and it comes about, and I'll sit and write it down, and it works, and it's something that I can follow through. So just downtime lets my brain just relax, and then it just has ability to think about stuff, even though I shouldn't be thinking about it.
Right. And Kirk, that I think downtime is drastically undervalued.
And
Because,
sleep, you need sleep too.
yeah, you do, right? Like, there was a time, I remember maybe 2 decades ago, where everyone was like, oh, I only sleep 3 hours a night or 5 hours a night. And then they're coming out with studies saying that actually is killing you. But
Terrible.
when you think about downtime, that downtime is really allowing you to really cause yourself which way you or cause yourself to really understand which way you should pivot and how to pivot.
I don't take downtime just to achieve that, to accomplish that. That's not what I'm doing. But I can tell you when I am doing downtime, not all the time, but there's been a few times where I'm downtime and there is something that I've been thinking about that just pops into my head, and I'll write down what my thoughts are as much as I can, spend 5 minutes or something, and then I just go on with it again and leave it alone. Okay? And then I'll come back to it the next day or something like that.
And that, Kirk, that's powerful because most people have zero downtime because they've got their phone with them. They're constantly scrolling. They got music in their ears constantly. They're talking to people on the phone. They're texting. The TV's on, screen time, all of the above. No one's really taking that time to really have that downtime. And make those pivots like you're attributing a lot to your downtime.
Yeah, and I've removed social media from my phone.
Interesting.
Okay. And I'll check, my social media, I'll check it on my computer. And I do it once a week, is what I do.
Wow. So it's gone. So that's interesting in itself, Kirk, because here we are talking about pivot. We're talking about technology. We're talking about AI. We're talking about all these advances that are happening. And you're saying, yeah, but one thing I don't do is put social media on my phone. Why?
No. It's just such a time suck, and it and there are times that I would get sucked into it, and I'm going like, oh my gosh, 2 hours have gone by, and I could have spent that time, with my wife. We could have been out walking or hiking. I could have spent time with my hobby and practicing and things like that.
And not get caught up in that social media trap that
Yeah,
just
because
goes.
remember, AI is happening for us so that we can become more of a human, that we can be more time with ourselves, with our family, doing things that we want to do as a human being. Okay.
Interesting. So never fight for that human connection is what you're saying.
Yes.
Be disciplined enough to connect human to human.
Yes.
And so let me ask you this question then, Kirk. How do you think people's ability to communicate interpersonally is going to be impacted if they rely too heavily on AI?
I haven't really thought about that. I haven't thought about that. But from what I've, read and have seen, our communications are actually, between men and women now, is really kind of shaky, it's kind of hard. And again, that's up to the person to turn down away from the technology and go out and be a human being in front of other human beings and be willing to make a mistake and walk up to a girl and ask her out and have her say no to you. That's just part of it. We had to do that when we were growing up. We didn't have any of this stuff. Okay.
Right.
And I think the fact that I went out and asked girls out and they said no to me led me to my wife that finally said, yes, I want to date you,
And a whole different level of appreciation for your wife as well.
Right.
And so what would you tell, so the people that are listening, Kirk, obviously you're committed to innovation. You're committed to pivoting and making sure that you're ahead of the technology game, or at least staying with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, trying to stay with it. But then you just bring up a great point here, and that is don't lose your human interaction. Don't lose your ability to connect with other people.
Exactly.
And how is it? I mean, I've literally talked to people as recently as yesterday who believe there will come a time when there is really no human to human interaction. And I don't foresee that time. We had the COVID experience, Kirk, and everyone through the COVID experience, people were dying and just wanting so desperately to have human to human interaction.
Yeah, they didn't want to be stuck in their house. They wanted to be out. We're herders. I mean, we want to be around each other. Human beings do want to be around each other.
Now, obviously, your hobby really helps you to become a master communicator. So
yes.
even when you're deep into the technology side, your hobby has really been a huge blessing for you because it's really makes you an even better communicator. Do you feel that?
Yes, because I'm a storyteller. What my hobby is all about telling stories.
Well, it's more than that.
The basis of it. It's the basis of what it is telling stories.
Right. Okay?
And that's human communication because humans love stories.
They do.
Okay?
They do.
And the more story you can help with people and connecting and becoming liked by them and connecting with them and showing them that you care about them and that your empathy for them draws them closer and nearer to you. I don't care if you're an introvert or an extrovert. If you have those skills, from my perspective, it's always been something wonderful for me.
So how have you forced yourself? Because nobody is born just a great communicator, right? Those are skills we have to work on, skills mm-hmm. we have to get better at. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's like for years, I lived in the country of Norway and I spoke fluent Norwegian, but I knew that when I hadn't spoken Norwegian in a little while, I would start to lose it, right?
Yes.
And so, mm-hmm. so you have to have the discipline to work on that communication. And so Kirk, what has really given you the energy and desire to work on that communication? Because some people are just like, I don't like people. I don't want to talk, but they're not saying I don't like people. When people say I don't like people, they're lying. Everyone likes people. There are certain types of people they maybe not like, right?
Correct.
But Kirk, what's given you the energy to really want to master communication?
Well, my father used to always say, yeah, you can get a PhD in whatever, but if you can't communicate it to people, they're going to just pass you by or they're going to ignore you. So you've got to figure out how to be a friend first and be genuine first before people want to connect with you before they'll even listen to you. And you've got to find a way to connect with people and be genuine about it, to be genuine. And once you do that, I think you have the ability for them to hear you and listen to what you're saying.
That's a powerful statement, Kirk. People want to connect with you before they'll even listen to you.
Yes.
Okay, open that, unpack that a little bit.
There was in the coaching programs I go to that I've been to, you know, to try and build my firm. There was one coach that says that he essentially says that people connect with the first. Okay, people do business with the person they first connect with, not who they first speak to.
Kirk, I told you that.
You did.
That's funny. I was like, I've heard that quote before.
You did. And I say it all the time. And when I'm, because I do a presentation, it's called Unexpected. And I always talk to people about, you know, that people will connect with who they will first connect with, not who they first speak to. And that has been so powerful for me. And I try to think about that all the time. And my father used to always say to me, you know, show kindness and be kind because you have the ability to be kind, not because you have to be kind.
Oh, that is so good. That is so good. Kirk, you also said something, and it's one of the things that I'm really drawn to you. And one of the reasons why I absolutely love being with you or around you is use that word genuine. When you're really authentic in your communication, and you truly do, all of everything you do, Kirk, all of your technology, all of your use of AI, everything you're building is so that you can genuinely communicate and connect with other people. And some people, that genuine piece is so hard for them. Has it been natural for you?
I've struggled. I have struggled a lot. And it's only since that, you know, after I turned 50, and I'm a little bit older than that now, but when I started turning 50, things started releasing in me that I just got to, you know, stop, go up and say hi to people and talk to them and just and be friendly with them. And it's amazing the people that I've met just by standing in line with somebody and started talking to them.
And for not because you're sitting here going, I hope I write their estate plan, but it's because I want to just be genuinely kind to that individual.
Yes. Open the door for somebody. Smile at them. Wave at people through the neighborhood. When you're driving slowly through the neighborhood and someone's walking along the road, just wave at them. Or if you're walking on the road and someone's driving by you slowly, wave at them. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, you probably get some type of hit of oxytocin or something.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So Kirk, if there's one thing you'd tell somebody that's saying, okay, as you're seeking to be successful in this life, and success is really, it's an interesting, I define it as one way, and perhaps other people might define it another, but Kirk, as according to my definition of success, you are exceptionally successful, because not only are you a tremendous attorney, you're also a tremendous husband and spouse and things that really matter. And so you're building some just incredible things in this life.
Your time. Thank you.
Well, and you've always had this quest to learn. And so as we talk about pivoting, what in essence we're really talking about is your desire to being willing to shift and learn something new.
Yes. If I understand something incorrectly and somebody can provide proof to me and evidence to me that my thinking is incorrectly, why do I need to walk this world being ignorant?
So true. So true.
I can walk this planet so much easier for me and for my family and for my friends and colleagues if I know something and I can live the world according to what I now know is what's wrong. I now know what the right thing is, you know, or what is supposedly the right thing now, you know?
And it's getting, and I just add this, Kirk, it's getting rid of that pride element, right? Because you are not proud, right? You're sitting here going back, going, hey, can I learn? And the most successful people I interview on this podcast are the people wired exactly like you with a determination to learn from other people and be humble in your approach.
Yeah, that's, let me think. That's one of the Robert Greene, 48 Laws of Power is, but it was one of the laws that just, you know, learn. I forgot what it was. Say less than necessary and listen to people. You've got 2 ears to listen to people and help you learn things.
I love that.
Ego gets yourself in so much trouble and it sends you down so many wrong roads. Okay. Your ego does. And if you can, everyone's got an ego. I've got one too. I do. All right. I admit it. But if you can just let it go sometimes, because it's not important. Why do you have to have your ego built into this? Every little thing you do, you have to have your ego built in.
Right.
And
right.
If you can just let it go and just soak in what other people have to say to you, what a wonderful gift you can give yourself.
Oh, that's huge. I love how you said that, Kirk. That is the gift you give yourself by getting rid of your ego and humbly seeking to learn from other people.
Easier said than done, I will tell you. And I still have ego. And one of my favorite ways to practice about ego is when I'm driving home and everybody's driving crazy and they're trying to cut in front of you. You know what? I want to try and control my, lizard brain by going like, just go on. I don't want you around me. Just go,
I love that. I love that. Kirk, I am so grateful to you for spending some time with us today. Love the insights you share. You. So appreciate who you are and
Thank
your
you.
Determination to pivot and innovate so you can remain successful in this life. I love it.
Thank you, sir. And it's good talking to you.
Kirk, being with you. Great being with you. Have a tremendous day.
See you. Bye now. Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, bye now.